You've heard that Chicago's famed father in the Catholic Church, Father Michael Flager, has been accused by two men of abusing them years ago. Eugene Hollander is an attorney that represents them. Also in our studio right now is WGN Radio News Director Ryan Burrow. There was a press conference a short while ago.
Yeah, the two brothers spoke. I'm sure Mr. Hollander will speak about that. But, you know, very emotional, very graphic in some situations, describing what happened in some of these encounters, and both saying that these happened decades ago. He was a very prominent person in the community. They were afraid to come forward, even as adults.
How did they reach out to you then, Gene? Welcome to the show, but how did you connect with them then?
Sure, thank you for having me. So the younger client reached out to me on New Year's Day, sent me an email, which kind of piqued my curiosity. And being a solo practitioner on New Year's Day, you got to return those phone calls and make those contacts. So I reached out to the younger brother. Within a couple minutes, I determined that I believed he was a victim of childhood sexual abuse.
I have read that 50 years, and it's been almost 50 years since these men say they were abused. Is that right?
Correct.
That is not uncommon. That, in fact, that is about the average time between abuse and somebody saying something like that or something along those lines. Do you know the statistic I'm talking about?
Yeah. According to SNAP, they say the average age for a childhood sexual abuse victim to come out is age 52. You know, I just was retained by a client a few days ago, a gentleman who unfortunately was sexually abused as a child. This gentleman was 71 years old and claims that a priest at the Diocese of Peoria sexually abused him.
But they are asking for money, or were asking for money. Is that true?
Well, part of the claim is they're asking for financial compensation. But, you know, what my clients want, I'll tell you what my clients really want. They want Father Flager to tell the truth. That's what they want. They want him to admit what happened. Father Flager has had more than 3 weeks to address my client's allegations. And the first time Father Flager posted something on Facebook was January 6th. There's a huge omission there. He didn't deny what happened. And then on January 18th, he posted again. Didn't deny what happened. It was only when he retained Michael Monaco, a very high-profile criminal defense attorney, through his lawyer's words, that he denied it. But we've never heard Father Flager, in his own words, deny my client's claims.
We reached out to that attorney as well. He may join us, but obviously isn't in this conversation today. But just talk a little bit about that then. What was the motivation? I mean, why did they finally come forward? And the allegation is that they're seeking monetary reward.
Sure. Well, you know, my younger client came forward first. And basically, he's an addiction counselor, and he's had a very different journey through life compared to his brother. His brother was in the military, honorably discharged after 20 years of service, was a police officer. But the younger brother had a much tortuous journey. He was incarcerated for a number of years, drug addiction, but did a complete 180-degree turnaround, completely turned his life around, got married, he's got a job, he's an addiction counselor. And he said that he could not go on counseling his clients to come clean unless he did so. The phrase he uses, I needed to free myself from myself. And he said, I could not go into another year, another new year, without addressing this.
And John, one of the things that we heard in that press conference was these two brothers didn't actually reveal to each other the alleged abuse
really
until very recently, correct?
That is correct. You know, this is not... You know, I've had several situations where I've represented siblings in childhood sexual abuse. Sometimes one particular case that's pending, they don't share it. It's very difficult. And here, the older brother only learned that his younger brother was abused within the last few weeks. And then they shared their stories. And the older brother is initially reticent to share his story. And the next time I talked to him, it was like a waterfall turned on.
Gene, if this is
true,
and it
all came flooding out.
If this is true, then is it likely that there would be other victims? And if so, why haven't we heard from them?
Well, you know, I strongly believe that there are other victims. Through my investigation, conversing with a Chicago police detective, I know that another victim is written into CPD. I've spoken to another woman who's alluded to there being two other victims out there. And you raise a very good question. Why have these people come forward? You know, Father Flager has a huge position in the community, very well respected in the community. And people are afraid to come forward because they're afraid they're going to be vilified. But my clients were incredibly courageous in addressing what they've gone through.
There were dozens of people outside of St. Sabina today having a rally, many of them calling your client's accusations untrue, saying that it's a money grab, others saying that they've known Father Flager for 40, 50 years. They've never been abused. They've never heard about any kind of abuse, and this is a surprise for them. We're playing both sides here. We're trying to get to the heart of the truth. Is that something that's difficult to listen to? Do you feel like these people just don't understand, or is this part of the uphill battle that you're going to have to continue to deal with?
Well, it's definitely a challenging situation. But again, why on January 6th, when Father Flager posted a statement on Facebook, he made his own post. These were his words. There was a huge omission there. He didn't say, "I didn't do it." On January 18th, he posted again. He could have said, "I didn't do it." We didn't hear he didn't do it until he retained Mike Monaco, and Mike Monaco put out a statement on January 24th, and for the first time through his lawyer's words, not his own words, he said he didn't do it. So Father Flager knows the truth here. He's a man of God. My clients want him to admit to what happened. They want him to tell the truth.
Eugene Hollander's on the line. He's an attorney for these two gentlemen whose names have not been released, even though they're in their 60s. I guess they're afforded that kind of anonymity. This is a civil case. Are criminal charges possible as well?
Well, again, I'm not a state's attorney, so you'd have to talk to Kim Fox's office. But these clients, the time frame is a little bit older in terms of whether criminal charges are going to be brought.
I don't know
what
the statute of limitations is, or if there is one in cases like this or not.
Well, there is, and not being a prosecutor, I don't want to express an opinion as to that. So I'm handling their respective civil claims in terms of trying to get those resolved.
Gene, do you handle cases like this? Have you dealt with people that have been abused by members of the clergy before?
I've handled dozens of cases like this. Many cases involving Father McCormick, who's linked to abusing many, many kids. We settled many of those cases, and one came closer.
Here's why I asked that. Because how is it that somebody who has done so much good, who has been so selfless and positive in the community, controversial at times, but a force of good in the community, how is it possible, and this is really the position the church has been taking, how is it possible that somebody can be that good and yet do something so reprehensible, so bad?
Well, you look at what happened with Daniel McCormick. Daniel McCormick was like a rock star within the Archdiocese. These kids worshipped him. They loved him. He was their coach. He took them to Sox games. And that was the process of grooming. And under that guise, he was able to abuse many, many children. And, we have a situation here where, according to my clients, Father Flager groomed them by teaching one of the older clients how to drive, taking them to pizza for pizza.
Would he give them money consistently?
Yes. The younger client described getting $20, $40, sometimes $60 routinely. From Father Flager.
So the note that he would ask for money in that letter, which partly has been released, is not entirely inconsistent with maybe the relationship he had had with him in the past.
It's not inconsistent. And what my younger client wanted is he didn't really want the money. He wanted Father Flager to send the money as an admission of guilt. Again, if this was 10, 15, 20 years ago, by the way, not 10 years ago, my client's been clean for 12 years. But if it was 15, 20 years ago when my client was at the depths of despair, needed money for his drug habit, perhaps that would have raised an interesting question. But my client's life has been completely turned around. He's married. He's employed. He's counseling individuals. But he's coming to grips with what Father Flager did to him.
Gene Hollander is the attorney for Michael Flager's accusers. They are not named. We'll continue to offer an opportunity for Father Flager or his attorneys to join us as well. Eugene, thanks for your time today.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You betcha. Ryan Burrell, WGN Radio News. Thanks for popping in.
Thanks. Yep.
Ryan monitored the press conference that he was alluding to.